I'm boycotting.
You can't boycott. Your name's on the product. How would that look?
It's my Friday because I'm not in tomorrow because I can't stand working with you anymore.
You're taking a day off because I hit the wrong button?
Two days in a row.
You would be off forever. You would never work if that was
true. All right, that's a good point.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. Welcome to the show. This is the Stream of Consciousness. It's also called the Bonus Hour because you don't have to pay for this hour. The rest... Well, you don't have to pay for the rest either,
no.
Do you?
It should be called the Bonehead Hour.
The Bonehead Hour. Welcome to the Bonehead Hour. You know, you just said something very interesting. You feel sorry for Toys R Us, and I guess I do too, but I really feel sorry...
For yourself.
For me and for others like me who have spent many, many formative parts of their growing up in a Toys R Us.
The guy I'm married to, Jimmy Mack, every time we would go past the Toys R Us in Niles, I'm not sure where that one is, but he would point out to...
The one on Gulf Road?
Yes.
Yeah?
He would, you know,
on
as
Northwest
we drove...
Northwest Highway?
Yes, I guess. I'm not familiar with that area, but when we'd be at our in-laws, we'd be driving around over there, and he would say to me and the boys... That is the first Toys R Us where I bought my very first Star Wars action figure.
Yeah.
Even though there was a Toys R Us closer to his house, that was the one in Niles that he bought his first
figure. It meant a lot to him. That store meant a lot to him.
Well, put it this way. He didn't forget where he bought his first action figure.
Well,
do you know which Toys R Us you stepped into first?
Yeah. It's no longer there. It was a bargain town. The first ones I went to were bargain town, so that would have been the mid-1960s. When the logo was not Jeffrey the Giraffe or his wife Gigi or his child baby G.
God, you're so weird.
But it was a guy who had a very long, thin head and also wore a long, thin hat.
Like Uncle Sam kind of thing?
Yeah, he was like the Uncle Sam of toys. It's like a young Uncle Sam.
Isn't that your goal in life?
I would like to be the young Uncle Sam of toys. Yes, I would. And I would gladly wear a red and white striped hat and shirt if it came to that.
Baseball cap, though.
Well, no, for this job, because, you know, it's one of those jobs. It's like being, you know, a president or something or a foreign dignitary. It is now.
Like being a
president.
I
would wear that. So that one was located very close to Midway Airport. That one, we used to go there if we'd go to Ford City, and then they built a regular Toys R Us close to Ford City. But boy, I've just had hundreds, if not thousands, of happy episodes in Toys R Us's over the years. I think I told you this. For years and years and years, whenever Terry was in the car with me, if we were passing one somewhere, either at home or away, I would say to her, I would just go, I'm going to be 5 minutes, just going to stop in, I'm going to run in. And I would. I would run through really quickly through the action figure aisle. If there was something I wanted, I'd buy it. If not, I'd just move on. But it would be 5 minutes. So I'd go, it's just going to be 5 minutes. And on the day that we were having our kids, her water broke. Is that too personal? If it is,
no.
she felt it was time to go to the hospital.
And is it too personal?
On the way to the hospital, we passed a Toys R Us. And I said, I'm going to be 5 minutes as we pass by.
Oh, that's so funny.
She goes, oh, don't. Please don't.
I have a similar story. I was ready to give birth to Michael at any moment. I was going to be induced because they thought he was so large.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't 7'6". He was pretty average. They said he was going to be like 10-plus pounds, so they induced me.
Oh.
So like a couple days before that induction, the new Star Wars movie has opened. It was he was born May 23rd, so this was 18 years ago in May, at the end of May.
Yeah.
19 years ago.
Yeah.
And at midnight at the Orland Park Toys R Us, there was a, you know,
come
figure
on early.
Release.
Yeah, come out early and get the figures before anyone else.
So I went there with Jimmy Mack, and we went at midnight, and I was really hugely pregnant, and I was able to hold the cart while he was flitting around getting all the action figures and talking to all the people.
How about that?
And then I think I had Michael like a couple days later.
Oh, that's a very nice story. A very nice memory, and I'm sure...
It is!
There was a time when you and I were doing mornings at Q101. I would go to the one, it hasn't been there for years, but there was one in Evanston that I would go to all the time. And one of the people recognized me and asked me what I was looking for, and at the time it was Simpsons figures from a company called Playmates. And she went in the back and got me the ones that they had. They hadn't put them out on the shelf yet. And then she said, hey, in the future, If you need any, I'll tell the staff to keep their eyes open whenever a new series comes out, and you don't have to come in every, because I was coming in like every other day.
You made a connection?
Oh, I did that at several of the stores over the years.
No wonder this is so much for you to deal with.
Hard to deal with. It is very hard to deal with.
That was your life, Bill.
Well,
which is really sad when you think about it.
A large
part of it.
but it was always, I mean, going in there was just, you know, it was like walking around a giant toy box. You know, it was like if you were a miniature person and you just got thrown right. in a toy box. I would love that. That's how Toys R Us always felt to me.
That's how ants feel in their ant farm. It's fun for them.
Yeah, it's similar. And when they'd move stuff around, like every once in a while, they would shift the floor plan. It was very confusing for me for a while.
You should write a book, your little tribute to the Toys R Us's, and you should call it, This Will Only Take 5 Minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes, in and out. 5 minutes.
Isn't it the part of your childhood
yeah.
that was being ripped away when you think about it? I don't mean to depress you, but...
I can't believe that they are going under because forever, like, I worked at another toy store, and we knew...
That's why.
On our best day, we couldn't come close to competing with Toys R Us. They were the standard, and no one else came close. Remember for a while, there was Play World... They started out on the southern part of the country. They were called Lionel's Play World here, but we had them here for a couple of years.
Like Lionel Train?
No.
I don't remember Play World at all.
There were maybe there must have been more than half a dozen. There were probably 8 or 10 of them sprinkled around the suburbs. So those were big for a while. Circus World was fairly decent size. Those were in a lot of shopping centers. The one I worked for was Toys by Rizzi. There was a dozen of those.
With the giant fluorescent stuffed animals on the ceiling.
The whole ceiling was covered with stuffed animals.
I got to be honest with you. I never went in there to buy a toy. I went in there to ooh and ah. I just thought if you needed a giant stuffed animal, that's where you'd go.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, I guess I might have looked in there, but weren't they pricier than other places?
It didn't make sense how. I think that's what did them in, was they weren't competitively priced. They were also... Like, they didn't think that electronic toys were a big deal. And I was working there at the time when remember the Mattel electronic football and basketball?
Yeah.
So they didn't want to carry that stuff because they thought, well, that's really expensive. So then they would have jolted it up even more. And I'm like, I'm telling you guys.
That's where it's at.
These are the toys of the future. You got to jump on this now. And they were like a year or two behind in buying all that stuff.
And I remember getting toys at Zaire when we used to go for pizza.
Yeah.
Best pizza in the world. But we'd buy toys at Corvettes, Venture, Zaire. They all had really reduced rates. And people were saying that, you know, the online shopping is what killed Toys R Us. But did you get this story today?
Yeah, that Amazon, because the rumor has been over the last couple of years, well, it's Amazon that's brought down Toys R Us.
It's not.
People say no. It was their own fault. They weren't real good at securing their debt, at fixing their debt. So that's, I mean, Amazon played a part in it. Don't get me wrong.
But you could order things on Toys R Us on their online thing.
Made it very easy.
And aren't they going to keep that? From my understanding, I thought that they were going to keep an online presence, just sell all the brick and mortars.
The original plan was to do that. But now with the restructuring, and I guess they're trying to just sell everything outright. So that would be up to the new buyer, who, if I only had an extra $300 million, would be me. But I have $20, and so far they have laughed at my offer of $20.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
That I think probably only you would know?
Yeah.
Who would buy it? I mean, what's another toy store?
That's the problem. There was a time where there would have been, like I had mentioned, some of their competition that they probably would have thought about this. But
is KB Toys still around?
No, they're gone. They've been gone for about 5 years. It's tough now because their real competition now is Walmart and Target.
Oh.
And to some extent, Barnes & Noble, but they're on shaky ground too. But Barnes & Noble, they actually have a really decent toy department as of the last few years.
They do?
Yeah, they've got really good stuff.
Bookie toys or all kinds of toys?
A little bit of everything.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Usually it's like, you know, if it's a two-level Barnes & Noble, it's on whatever level. If it's one that has an upstairs and it's hard to get to, it's upstairs. If it has a downstairs, it's hard to get to, it's downstairs. But they've stepped up their game quite a bit. And actually, I have to say, Target does a nice job at Christmas time.
They
jump it a little bit. They double the size of their toy department. And some Walmarts are good and some are not good.
Walmart is just picked through and messy. But they really have a pretty decent selection, I have to tell you. And they're all pretty competitive. I know the internet has hurt small business. But with these giant corporations, if you go online, I would say it's happened to me several occasions. Whatever store I'm in, I will say your competitor has it cheaper, and they totally meet it.
Because it's easy for them to look it up to see if you're telling the truth.
And they have to look it up on their computer. Yeah. They won't usually just take your phone.
Right.
But that makes it easier if I'm shopping at Target.
Right.
You know, while I'm in there, like I'll be buying shampoo or whatever, and then I will look at the price and I will compare prices, and you just go to the service desk. It's really the best way to do it.
Yeah.
And then they will accommodate you, and then they get the sale. Isn't that what they should do?
Yeah, that is what they should do. There was a time, so now we're going back about 15 or maybe 20 years, that FAO Schwarz would have been the one, if anyone would have bought Toys R Us. Although in the last couple of years, a lot of Toys R Us's have a section that it says FAO Schwarz on it. So FAO Schwarz still has a small presence in the toy business, not what they used to have. Their store here in Chicago was great, and their store in New York was an entire department store that was just toys. It was fantastic.
Is that what was featured in Elf, although named something different?
The one you saw in Elf was based on it. To really see it in its prime, the movie Big.
That was it.
Big is where they filmed it there. Yeah, with Loggia and Tom Hanks. Yeah.
What a great movie.
Yeah, yeah. When I was up for... This will sound like I'm bragging. And I am. They were going to make Big into a TV series, and I was one of, I think there were 8 or 9 of us that were up for that role.
You would have been 100% perfect. Oh my God.
It would have been fun. It would have been fun. But they flew me to New York for the last audition, and I said to the two producers, it was a man and a woman, I don't remember who they were, but when the audition was over, I said, I'm not saying this to suck up to you guys, but I'm like a toy fanatic, and I know I'm close to FAO Schwarz. Can you just point me in the direction? And they lit up, and they go, what are you going to do there? And I go, just look around. I love it. You know, I want to go. So they were very helpful and showed me where it was. But that was such a cool day to audition for that role and then stand in the store where they shot those scenes.
Did they not put it together? Did it not come to fruition?
It never went to, it never became a series.
Are you Facebook friends with these people? Why don't you tell them to do it again?
No. I think too much time has passed.
You would have been so 100% perfect. I mean, Tom Hanks was awesome in that movie.
Yeah.
I almost feel like you could have been better than Tom Hanks.
No, I can't be better than Tom Hanks.
I don't know, Bill.
But I think I told you this. Aww. One of the other actors that was up, one of the finalists was Mark Lemura, who died a couple months ago. He's the guy who played Mark Dalton on All My Children.
Oh, right. Really?
And he was,
He looks more like a Tom Hanks type person.
I can't remember if there were 8 or 9 of us that made that final cut, but when you looked around the room, all but like 1 or 2 of us, I don't look anything like Tom Hanks.
No.
I don't act like Tom Hanks, certainly. But there was one other guy that looked and acted even less like him than me, who I swear I think is Josh Gad. Do you know who Josh Gad is?
I know that name. Where do I know him?
He's been in a bunch of Disney movies. He did the voice of the snowman in Frozen and in this last Beauty and the Beast. He was in that. Although, in my head, I'm like, I think he's too young to have been that guy, but that guy looked just like Josh Gad. He was up for it.
He was born in 1981, so there's no way.
So it couldn't have been him, because he would have been 4 or something, right?
Yeah, there's no
way. All right,
way.
It wasn't him then.
He was in Pixels. Does he just do voice acting?
A lot of it, but not exclusively.
Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, he's in that. He's in the latest version of that. But, So, all right. So, all in all, it's a sad day if you're a toy person. And I pulled a commercial that I hope you'll remember. Whenever we talk about our favorite Christmas commercials, the one that most people talk about, and I love it too, is that Norelco one where Santa Claus is on the
shaver
and he's going down the hill.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about it.
It's pretty sweet.
It's beautiful. But my second favorite is this commercial for Toys R Us from Christmas sometime in the early 1980s, I think. Listen to this and see if you remember it. It was an animated commercial, and it started out with Jeffrey, the mascot for Toys R Us, and his wife Gigi, and of course Baby G, taking a ride out in the snow in their convertible, they're, you know, they've got long necks, so they can't have a regular car.
Right.
You know. All right, so see if you remember this. This is from sometime in the early 80s.
Icicles growing, hearts overflowing with cheer. It's that wonderful season, we all find some reason. The Toys R Us time of year.
World's biggest toy stores, Toys R Us. The biggest selection, Toys R Us. It's the Toys R Us time of year.
Do you remember that at all?
Yeah, but Jasmine just said it was 1981, so that's when I graduated from high school, as did you, and I was concerned with going away to college, boys, underage drinking.
I just wanted to meet Jeffrey and Gigi and Baby G. I wanted to spend the holidays with the Jeffrey family.
I remember the jingle and the whimsy that I'm hearing.
Yeah, it was really color. It was all animated, and it was so colorful and fast-paced and stuff. And,
Senior in high school. That's what you remember.
Yeah. Yep.
You should have gone to toy college.
Is there such a thing as toy college?
No, but
I would have gone to toy college. All right, we'll take a break. And then one of our favorite animated characters, Trudy Pilak, will be in to give us the news. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Trudy, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's the bonus hour. Wendy, you've received a piece of mail that you'd like to discuss.
It's really bizarre, you guys. And
creepy, bizarre, or just bizarre?
It's kind of creepy. It's kind of awesome. Mm. And it's kind of just really, I need to throw it out there because this is bizarre.
I'm sorry, did you say a letter?
It's a card.
We just got a letter.
Thank you.
We just got a letter. We just got a letter. Let's find out who it's from.
I wonder who it's from.
Is that
Blues Clues?
Blues Clues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve, original version.
And now John Cena.
Yep.
Right.
Jasmine just handed this to me in the office, so it came. It was given to me today.
Yeah.
And there is no return address.
Your letters don't have any return address.
Well, it's not a letter, so let me say.
Where is it from?
Well, that's what I looked. It's from Champaign, Illinois.
Oh.
And I received it today.
Champaign Urbana, na na na.
Yes. What's that from?
That's my favorite song.
Oh,
Champaign Urbana, na na na. Patsy, Jack, and Vanna, na na na.
You should write a little.
Roseanne.
Weird Al, I'd be on the lookout for Bill stealing your gig. But so Wendy Snyder, care of WGN Radio, and it's a greeting card. I opened it, no return address. Heaven's Gates are there, and it says, and if I please may just get through this.
Yes.
I just wanted to let you know that I arrived home safely. Heaven is every bit as wonderful as you told me it would be. Thank you for all the love you gave me, and I will be waiting with open paws to be reunited with you again someday. I believe I was always meant to be with you. Signed, Tiki.
Aww.
Wendy, I don't know for sure, but I don't think Tiki sent you that letter. I could be wrong.
My first reaction is it's sweet.
It is unbelievably sweet. And to the listener, obviously, who sent this, it is strange. And I've never seen anything like it before, but it was so touching. And it was a week ago today that we lost him.
You've never lost a pet before and been on the radio.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, where people know, you know,
I guess,
it's just the first time. So I think it's straight up sweet.
Whoever sent this, thank you so much. And I mean, there's no thing on the back that tells you where you could get a card. It's like handmade or something.
Oh, wow, let me see that. That's crazy.
I would like this listener to contact us because I think you need an Etsy shop or something because I'm telling you, it just was weird, but it made me feel so good.
Yeah.
No, there is a, on the front, it says Judy King. Reinitz.
As if to say that's who did
the artwork. Or maybe she did the whole car. Maybe it's her. Look at the little paw prints.
I know.
So
isn't that unbelievable? I know. Bill,
and look
laugh
at
me.
The animals, they get in a certain part of the gate there. Like, I always thought the gates would open
so
up.
So there's not a doggy. You know how, like,
it's
on
like a
Blondie,
doggy. Yeah, it's a doggy gate.
Let's see.
Check it out.
There's, like, the little flap.
That is pretty cool. Yeah.
That is just the sweetest thing.
It is. I don't think it's weird at all. I think it's so sweet.
Read the
of
one from your grandma.
What?
Did somebody send you a card pretending it was
when
your grandma?
When you first started reading that, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Because it sounded like someone saying, yeah, all right, bye-bye.
I know. I didn't know what to make of it, so I was freaked a little. And then it was like, God, what are the sweetest little thing in the world?
Feel?
Is that how Tiki signed his name?
Wendy, lie down. How did it make you feel?
Yeah. Why do you hate your mom?
Why do you hate cats?
Right. We're just curious.
I only had one cat named Declan.
So you're right, though. This does bring up so many different emotions.
It
makes you sad, but it also makes you happy at the exact same time,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And it's mysterious.
It is.
Very mysterious.
I don't know. So whoever sent this from Champaign, Illinois, really, it's completely heartfelt and appreciated. I really loved it.
What if you got dozens of these? What if many people had similar thoughts and sent you dozens and dozens of cards from your dog?
Well, then I'd think someone stole his identity.
Oh, maybe.
Because they'd be sending me several cards.
Yeah, maybe.
I picked up his ashes yesterday, and I've never gotten the ashes of a pet before because it's like, what do you do with it? And my oldest son, Michael, said, you know, we have this wolf statue that we bought that kind of reminded us of Tiki. So he's like, maybe we should bury the ashes under the statue. And then people were saying, well, why do you need to bury ashes? You just scatter them. But I don't know. I think maybe we'll bury
the
whole thing.
Well, for people, you know, they bury the ashes. If you're a Catholic and you decide to be cremated, you can be cremated, but in the Catholic faith, you have to be buried as well.
So they bury the urn with the ashes?
But it's also become trendy, and I have to say, I kind of like this. You say to your loved ones, when or if I die, I would like these spread in places that meant the most of me. So
many times that's illegal, just so you know.
Right. Like Wrigley Field has said, because a lot of people do it at Wrigley Field or at White Sox Park. And
But they don't get permission. They just kind of bring their grandpa in their
pocket. But even some environmentally, I guess, there are some places you shouldn't do it. I'm not really sure.
Because I know this seems overly symbolic, but there are certain tennis courts that I love playing on. And
you'd like a little sprinkle here and there.
Yeah, put me on the tennis court.
I'm going to put you in a tennis ball.
And by the way, and then I'm going to whack it.
Oh, all right. That's fine.
Okay, and you don't really, you know, think about it. It's a small amount of ashes. It's not.
Well, I didn't even look. I'm scared.
What are the ashes in for a dog?
It's in, I didn't really open it up because since today is the anniversary of his death, the week anniversary, I thought we could all open it together tonight and just kind of say, oh.
Why are you going to open it?
Well,
because he would want it that way, too.
Well, because his ashes are, as they explained to me when I picked him up yesterday, his ashes are in a bag in the vessel.
He's not in a dog urn?
I would not open the vessel. Keep it closed. You're going to bury it anyway.
But we were just going to bury the... I don't want to bury the vessel.
Oh, really? Why not?
I don't know. I don't know what to do. I've never done this before.
I buried my mom in a vessel.
You did?
I did. And I'm telling you, I buried her.
What?
I did.
Wait a minute.
It's the weirdest story.
Mm. And we want to say this on the air?
Because sure.
I think that's illegal.
No, it was fine with the cemetery.
Was it in the middle of the night?
It was in the middle of nowhere, I'll tell you that. No, but a storm came up and we had to leave for a while and come back.
Did you do this so you didn't have to buy a plot?
Well, no. It was so funny.
Over by that tree.
Oh, man.
Exactly. We're all like, well, I'm not paying for mom's funeral. No, nothing like that. First of all, my mom was an only child.
Yeah.
And I didn't live with my mom most of my life. I will just say that upright. You know, I lived with my dad. But, you know, we became much closer later in life.
Oh, good.
Blah, blah, blah.
Good.
Yeah, when my kids were born, it was great. She was like this wonderful grandma.
Oh, nice.
Maybe not so much as whatever. Yeah. She had her issues.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We all do.
Yeah. We all do. So when my mom died, we talked about it and we're like, you know, I didn't even know any of her friends really that she did, you know, a lot of them were scattered and she's, like I said, only child.
Yeah.
Her parents were dead. We didn't really nobody.
No cousins even probably.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was worried about having a wake where, you know,
no one would come.
So I said, you know what, to my sister, who was really close to my mom, my older sister, I said, and I lived in my old house then, which had a parlor.
Oh.
You know, we had the living room, get it, and the parlor.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why don't we just have it at my house? I said, I'll do this a lunch. We'll invite people. We put the obit in the Tribune, blah, blah, blah. I had a neighbor who was a minister. He was like a Christian minister. And I asked him, Stuart, hey, would you just mind coming over and saying a prayer at some point?
How perfect is this?
It was the nicest day ever.
Oh, good.
So many people came.
Really?
Because I forgot, of course, people will come for me.
Right.
Oh,
and
my
sister, they came for us.
Yeah,
you come for the living, not the dead. So, of course, a lot of people came. And a lot of my mom's friends came. And it was great. So then now we've got this, we had already had her cremated. We had this urn. And we're like, all right, so now her parents are buried up in the UP in this little tiny cemetery up in Iron Mountain. So we call It's Winter. And they're like, well, you can't do anything now. Anyway,
right, the ground's frozen.
Yep, the ground's frozen, so you have to wait. Anyway, so now we wait. Now it's, you know, 6-7 months later.
Ugh.
We call again, and we're like, well, and the guy said, well, you know, your grandparents have 4 plots here that they bought anyway. We're like, all right, we've got this little urn. What, you know, can we just bury her between them? And he's like, yeah. And I think he meant, you know, when we said, can we just bury her between them? He's like, sure, whenever you guys want to come up and do it, it's fine.
Oh.
Or like,
oh.
Like, can we bury her ourselves? He's like, yeah, absolutely.
I've never heard of that.
I know. Because you think you'd have to go down a little.
You'd think that. And because you'd think they might want to make some money on this, you would imagine.
No, and but they had 2 extra plots. Did you go 6 feet under?
No. No.
How far down?
I don't know. A couple feet.
That's it?
Yeah, I had to wee. So my sister and I go up there. Not big. It was small. And so we go up there with a shovel. I know, it's so weird.
This doesn't sound fantastic. I'm saying it out loud. It's so weird,
but it just didn't seem to seem totally natural to me.
Did it really?
This cemetery was like, there was like a little church almost, or
a chapel.
Like starts with a P. Parsonage or something like that. You know, and I thought, well, maybe it's not all of, and I don't even know the last time they probably had a. No, I take it back, because when my grandfather died, we did bury him up there at that cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
You buried him yourself, too?
No.
Oh.
No, it was a full-on funeral. But now that, because I was like, wait, we were there one time before. But I did let Luke, my son, he was like, I don't know, 12, drive around the cemetery in the car.
Oh.
Because there's no one around. Anyway.
And if a bad thing happens, you're already in a cemetery.
Right? And it was
so. People are dying to get in,
oh,
Bill.
Oh, yeah. It was a really old cemetery. Anyway, so we
So you buried
her between. Yeah. We just. And so we didn't even use one of the plots because we wanted her to be between her parents.
That's really sweet. That's nice.
And they had no. And maybe that's why. Maybe because it wasn't like a plot. If it was a plot, maybe they would have come out and.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that extra plot then? Is it just empty?
I don't know. Maybe someone will use it one time. Yeah. It'll.
Do you have any stuff you need to store?
I know, right?
You store it, you bury it.
Did you want to put Tiki up there?
That'd be nice. What do you think about it?
And that's what, you know, I thought, should I keep some of his ashes just to have with me? And because somebody, even some listener said, you know, what if you move? And my youngest son, Dylan, said, if we move, the new house has nothing to do with him. He never lived there. So I think we're going to bury him.
Confuse him, a new house.
They do know how to get home. But the ground, I'm not going to do it right now. I'm not going to do it tonight.
And why, you could save some of the ashes. They have like these little things you wear as a necklace.
I'm not going to do that. I've never had any ashes. Mm. I don't want ashes. I don't want to start collecting ashes. I mean, what about people who have had a lot of pets? Do they have like 10 different urns all over their house?
How about Wednesday? You take the ashes of pets that mean a lot to you and show them off.
And do what? Put them on my forehead?
It's a conversation piece. Hey, where'd you get your ashes? Oh, I did it local.
Well, I guess we're only saying that because you took the ashes.
I know, but
like, I didn't. When my cat died, I didn't take the ashes.
I didn't want to either, but Michael said let's bury him.
I do kind of.
You wish you did?
Except I get your point about your house. I don't think I took him because I thought if I did, I would bury him. But we are in a relatively new house where my cat didn't really grow up. And so,
no. Wouldn't make sense.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I also got the paw print, and that made me cry, that they put the little paw in the clay, and then you have to bake it to make it hard. Yeah,
really?
It's just kind of like I might write his name in it with a toothpick, just write Tiki, and then you bake it, and it'll completely harden. Now, it's kind of...
It's like Shrinky Dinks.
Why don't you plant a tree? And put Tiki under there. And
lift your leg on it.
And put it out on the... No, dogs will come by. They'll be drawn to it.
Oh, my God. And lift my leg on it.
Yeah, it'd be a tribute.
I will do that.
Do that for Tiki.
Put it on the parkway so that, you know, if you ever do move, you could always go back and drive by and say, there's the Tiki tree.
Oh.
You could call it the Tiki tree.
Yeah.
Could put a little plaque
there. Or a Tiki torch.
Oh, that's even better.
Think about that for a minute.
No, I like the tree idea.
Because
already the kids, and I don't know if your girls have done this, but my kids have already started, and they're not, they're 15 and 18, not ready to get married yet. And they said, are you and Dad moving? And we said, no, we've just fixed the basement and the kitchen. No, we're not planning on it. And I said, we really like it here. And Dylan says, he's 15. He says, because I want to bring my kids here. And I said, well,
you know. Nice.
I can't guarantee what's going to happen,
right.
You know, if Dad and I die. I don't know if we'll have that.
They can hang out with the new owners.
No, but so they want to be in this house forever, and we probably will. We love the house and the neighborhood, and we fixed it up how we want it now. So I like the tree idea. Because then, you know, someday later in life, you can drive by if we don't live there and say, oh, the tiki tree.
I
planted a tree in my front yard just because I wanted one, but I was thinking about that later. I'm like, oh, I could come back here, you know.
In a thousand years?
Well, yeah.
I planted a tree when Michael was born, and then Dylan didn't get his own tree when he was born.
Did you bring that up with the boys?
No, I kind of forgot
Michael
to tell
Michael and
him.
Tiki. They get their trees.
Yeah.
Explain
Dylan
that
left
to Dylan.
Out again.
Michael got a tree. Tiki got a tree. I don't know whose tree that is, but we put that up. Where's my tree?
Dylan, go to your room.
Right. Enough of this tree discussion for you.
I like the tiki tree, but whoever is the listener who sent this lovely
what
little
a nice
card,
thing that was.
Which is basically a card from Tiki saying that he arrived home safely in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The pearly
and a
gates
beautiful picture.
With the doggy door, which is just really
door.
Adorable.
Oh, my gosh.
Would it
so
shock
cute.
You to learn that it was me?
Yes.
And me, too. I'd be I would be so shocked if it was me that did that.
Thank you, whoever did that. Really sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little paw prints going in the little flap of the pearly gates, or the pearly
That's
flap.
Just an artist rendering, though. You understand that, right?
No,
that's not
real.
An actual photograph.
It's true.
That's
it
not
is,
a photograph of heaven,
she
Judy.
She drew that off of
what?
The photograph
Come
that
on.
They have of heaven's
that's
gates.
That's impossible.
I'll find out what this. Who did this, because then when your rabbit dies...
Yeah.
You know, I'll send it to the girls, not you.
Yeah. I don't know what the life expectancy is on one of these house rabbits. I have no idea.
I don't either.
You know, the funniest thing, I don't know if you know this, Jude, but my daughters have this rabbit. And every once in a while, when a rabbit goes by outside, they lift the rabbit up to look and see the rabbit outside, which I think is cruel.
Very.
Because it's like, look, there's
a sister or brother.
That rabbit can run free.
Yeah, but this one has a roof over its head and gets fed all the time.
That's the trade-off.
And no cats.
Has the rabbit ever tried to get out?
No, sometimes they take the rabbit out in the yard, and I always say to myself, well, that's the last we're all going to see of the rabbit.
Why,
but
when the
rabbit seems completely
it?
Complacent and just almost
doesn't
wants to go back
away.
Inside.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what to do with this outside stuff.
But
I
you
like
bought the rabbit at a store, right?
It's a domesticated rabbit. Yeah. It's not one they caught in the yard.
Right.
No, I don't think you could you?
Well, you
I
could.
I think once they're out in the wild, they...
I've nursed baby bunnies whose moms have left
that's
them.
That's sick.
Not that way.
Oh, all right,
with eyedroppers,
oh,
thank
goodness.
Weirdo.
You scared me for a minute.
God, no.
There's a hungry-looking rabbit. What can I possibly do to make his day better?
My God, Bill. God, the visual.
I immediately go to wet nurse and
I don't want to think about it.
But I've nursed, you know, their moms, they say if you touch the nest, they won't go back. To take care of them.
Oh, with rabbits? They do that?
Rabbits,
I thought that was birds that do that.
Oh, my God. And can I tell you, and this is a weird thing, too. Tiki must have killed 6 or 7 rabbits in his time. The very first year we had him, he was, I think he was 2 when we got him. Not quite 2. And it was Easter Sunday morning, and we let him out in the yard.
Because they had just been there to leave the eggs for the kids.
Yes.
We have a fenced yard, so we'd always let him in the backyard first thing in the morning, because you don't want to walk him the minute you get up.
Right.
And when we went out later, he had gotten a baby bunny and killed a baby bunny, and I'm like, this is our Easter Sunday with this new dog. And then he went on to kill so many rabbits, and I'd get so mad at him, and he was just doing what a dog does. These stupid rabbits would make nests in the middle of our yard. Like, you'd think they could sniff that a dog is out there all the time.
Avoid that.
So
when you say a nest, like...
They dig in the ground. They burrow under the ground, and then there's leaves and bunny hair. It's obvious. I mean, do it in the corner of the yard.
Right.
I have wild flower gardens. Do it there. But no, like the center of the yard. So Tiki killed probably 6 to 10 rabbits, adults, babies, everything. And this morning, I was feeling sad because it's like a week ago we put him down, and it feels like yesterday, yet it feels like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I look in the backyard, and there are 4 or 5 bunnies in our backyard, and I'm like, you're doing that just to spite him.
Running free.
Yeah.
Laughing.
A rabbit nest, I think, is referred to as a hutch.
No, a hutch is what your grandfather built when you had a rabbit named Nosy, and he put little shingles on it.
Wow.
A hutch is what a cage that you put him in. A
Are
nest.
You sure? I don't think rabbit nest is the right terminology. I don't think.
That's why I asked. I've never heard of a nest of branches.
Yeah.
But now that you mention it, Wendy, you're right.
It's a hole.
It's like a burrow because I've seen the leaves with the white bunny hair. Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, Ryan Burrow.
A hutch is what you build. It wouldn't be a hutch in the backyard.
Are you sure?
A hutch goes with a Starsky, by the way.
It's a rabbit Starsky. A bunny nest, a squirrel nest, a rat's nest, which is my nest? Hair. Yeah.
There's a rabbit in your hair, Wendy.
No. how to care for a wild rabbit nest, 5 steps. What else would you call it?
I don't know. When I think of a nest, I don't know, Wendy,
but we didn't grow up on a farm like you.
I grew up in Brookfield. I didn't have a farm.
Yes, you did, right nearby the zoo.
There was a little farm, I worked there, but I didn't live there.
Well, you obviously know a lot about it.
Because I'm an animal lover, and we live near a park. I nurse baby squirrels,
too. I don't want to think about it. That's sick.
I live across the street from
Oh, my God. Both of you
that is sick.
Stink.
I mean, I can understand over time building a kinship with these animals, Wendy, but that is above and beyond.
I'm glad Tiki's gone because he'd roll his eyes at both of you right now.
That's fine.
He's doing it right now in heaven. He's like, oh.
Yeah, right.
And then he just tunes us out.
Well, thanks, listener. That was awesome.
Thanks, listener, whoever you may be, mysterious listener. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. Judy, thank you for hanging out. I greatly appreciate it. We'll find out what's coming up on Sports Central. Kevin Powell is running the show today. We'll find out what Kevin has planned for. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thanks, dude.